You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is your host, Eric Rivera, and welcome to another episode of the Striking Corner podcast. This is actually episode 24, and as always, I'm joined by my right-hand man on the podcast, Mr. Vinny Scotto. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Everything's good, man. How was how was your July 4th weekend? Everything, did you have a lot of fun, eat a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers?
I actually didn't eat as many hot dogs and hamburgers as I'd like to.
Oh, man, I know. Actually, I have this feeling that as my July 4th was completely uneventful, man. It was completely uneventful. I mean, I have a feeling that as I've gotten older, just the idea of fireworks, I think I was more of a pyromaniac when I was a kid, but the idea of fireworks just doesn't do it for me anymore. So I don't know.
I think I'm still a pyromaniac. It's just that... They're highly illegal in New York, and it's just really not worth it.
Oh, okay. Nah, man, they're totally legal here, man, and people were it's a little difficult now because it's a little bit different because actually the funny story is that I tried to take my kid, Lucas, who's only 3 months old, to go watch them at the park.
And, smart idea.
Yeah, man, and then as soon as the first one went off and exploded, he started crying like crazy. And I felt like it was like some sort of child abuse because he was feeling like I could totally tell he was freaked out of his mind.
What did you think was going to happen? He's 3 months, not 3 years old. Even 3 year olds don't like fireworks. What did you think he was going to do at 3 months?
I don't know, man. I thought he was just going to be a little bit more patriotic, man.
Maybe if you put earplugs in his ears and let him just see the colors, he might enjoy it.
Yeah, man. It really backfired badly. And then I went with my wife. It wasn't like she was kind of agreeing with the idea too, so I guess that was just bad parenting on our part. Because he freaked out, man, and then we're like, okay, we got to get out of here. So before, the focus was just completely on, you know, making sure he wasn't freaking out anymore, that we had to just like run home. Because it was actually in a park that's near our house, so we walked there. And yeah, man, it just didn't go well. And besides that, man, July 4th this year wasn't... I usually like to celebrate. I think last year I celebrated pretty good with my family, and we let off a lot of fireworks because they are legal here in Florida. But yeah, man, this year was just completely uneventful, man.
Well, I think ever since I moved back to New York and I stopped having my 4th of July parties, I don't think you could ever look at 4th of July the same.
Yeah, that's right, man. That was the 4th
of July. For most of you that don't know. One of my greatest achievements was achieved with Eric. I used to, when I lived in Florida, I had a crazy 4th of July party every year. And the one year, Eric has never really been much of a drinker, but I got him so drunk to the point where first he fell asleep on the side of my house face first in the grass. Then after that, he fell asleep somewhere in my house. And the next morning, instead of waking up and calling in sick to work, he was so hungover that he called in and quit his job. That's like the greatest accomplishment of all time.
Yeah.
I got someone so drunk that they quit their job.
It's very true, man. That's actually, it's funny that you brought that. Now that I was thinking about that, I forgot that it was on July 4th. That was, I don't know how many years ago now, but yeah, that was... It was also a job that I hated. I actually used to,
Don't try to take away my achievement. Don't blame it that you hated the job. Let me have this one.
Yeah. But I actually used to work. At that time, I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which is just, I just had a horrible time working there. And I don't know what it was. And I just called and quit. I was just so hungover, so terrible. I mean, I don't think I... What do we call that? I think we've come up with a term for that. We were like, it was like DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 3, some sort of DEFCON 3 hungover. It was just the worst I've ever possibly been in my entire life. And I think what it had to do was because Vinny, like he said, he made these incredible parties every year that were just pretty much insane. And what they did was they had this gigantic block of ice that was like put into some sort of makeshift kind of ramp thing. And then what they did is they carved a chute into, you know, like a chute, like into like a little, like a canal into that giant ice thing, and then put it elevated, like where you have to put your mouth at the bottom of it. And they would just pour Jägermeister down that chute. So there was like, you couldn't measure with if it was a shot or if it was like the size of a big gulp. And then you would just take, you would end up drinking a shitload of Jäger. And I'll come, I mean, Jäger, I think since that day, man, Jäger is probably one of my most hated alcohols ever, man. I can't even stand the sight of it. And I think it was traumatic because, like Vinny said, I'm not that much of a drinker. Never really have been. And, but when I was with Vinny, I was like, all bets were off for some reason. So, I mean, he just did that. And then, yeah, man, I know you enjoy that, but it was probably one of like the worst experiences of my life, that hangover, man.
Your pain is my pleasure.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. So, yeah, that was basically my 4th of July was definitely not that eventful this year. You know, now that I have a baby boy, it's a little bit different. And obviously, I guess, yeah, obviously he's not of age to really go check that out yet and stuff. So to go see the fireworks or whatever. But we didn't have a barbecue or anything. So really just here relaxed and at the house. And that was pretty much it, man. That was the extent of my 4th of July.
Yeah, I didn't really do much. I mean, I went over to a friend's house for a barbecue. Just, you know, hung out, ate some food. Not really many hot dogs and hamburgers. Like actual real food when you go to like an adult barbecue. But yeah, that was pretty much it. Nothing too eventful.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think as I've gotten older, I don't think, like I said, I don't know if it's that big of a deal anymore to me. Although it's, you know, it's our independence. It's the independence of the United States, so I should be a little bit more grateful. But I don't know, man. I was just like, wanted to chill at home. And I had a lot of other errands to run. It was totally crazy. So, you know, I wasn't a lot of stories I could tell. Usually I have stories to tell, but it wasn't. But actually, cool thing was, you know, speaking of relating it back, everything back to Muay Thai, our good friend Marcus Fisher, that you guys, some of you may know, obviously he's fought all up and down the East Coast and fought across the country. Marcus Fisher is actually a good friend of ours from Pittsburgh Muay Thai, and he was actually here this weekend to do a small seminar here at the gym that I teach at, which is Academy of Martial Arts in Pembroke Pines, Florida. So if you guys are ever down here in South Florida near the Fort Lauderdale and Miami area, hit me up. That's the gym that I train at and I teach at. And Marcus was down here, man. We had a really good, pretty, I wouldn't say it was too great of a turnout, but it wasn't because... obviously it was because of the holidays and everything like that, but we had a good group of guys come out and that were, you know, willing to cut their, you know, their hot dog eating and hamburger time down and decide to step into the gym and have a 3-hour seminar. I was missing a lot of my top guys. They were out on vacation and stuff, but, nah, man, it was really cool to, always cool to train with Marcus. I honestly think for me personally, I think Marcus, is a very talented fighter, super difficult to fight and train to fight with, and even training in the clinch, he's super tough, but he's just got a wealth of knowledge and he really knows how to explain it to people. So it was a really good experience. And I think I feel like when you do Muay Thai, you always have to like, I would say this to my students, man, because I think even though I say I'm on here on the podcast that I'm an instructor, I feel like I'm a coach and all that, but I think you, to really be a solid coach, you have to constantly, you can't be somebody who ever thinks that they know everything. You can't be somebody that thinks they've ever mastered anything. You know, I think that's something that my coaches have always told me. And, you have to be consistently evolving, man. You have to be consistently learning new shit. And having guys like Marcus and then going to different seminars and stuff and learning from different guys that we've encountered throughout, you know, doing the podcast and doing Muay Thai and just traveling to different parts of the country, you pick up so much. And there's just so much, such a wealth of knowledge throughout this country when it comes to Muay Thai. And that's why, you know, that's really why we started the podcast, is to sort of bring everybody together and have that community, because there is so many great people in this country doing this sport, and I just, that's why it kind of pains me. And I think Vinny and I are working so hard to really get Muay Thai to get bigger, because we do have a lot of talent here, man, you know?
That we do.
Yeah.
And before we get to it, we actually have some very new up-and-coming talent coming on the show tonight, which you'll hear more about later on.
Yep. Yeah, man. Yep. We actually we have a young, upcoming, talented fighter. He is from New Jersey, out of Weapons 9. His name is Spencer Grakowski. I was actually thinking, man. I mean, I was actually looking through some of his results, and I, you know, he actually had a fight, great fight recently, which was he fought at, well, not recently, but I mean, he was traveling in and out of Thailand and all that. But I know he fought one of the pretty much a legendary fighter in the New York area, which was Chris the Polish Punisher. Kotwiakowski, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, but very, very talented dude, and very, very talented guy. And Spencer, you know, being, I think he was like 18 or 19 at the time when he fought him, you know, actually won that fight, I believe, by knockout. And so, I mean, he's definitely a young, talented kid, and I can't wait to have him on the podcast. And, you know, we really want to highlight those young and upcoming dudes, because those, you know, we had Onion on, we had Gaston Bolaños on, you know, these are guys that are really, in a lot of ways, the future of the sport, you know. So it's, I think it's sometimes we can interview legends and stuff, and you're always going to have legends. And obviously I want to have guys like Kevin Ross and, you know, maybe Romy Adanza and, yeah, so many other, Justin Greskowitz and all these other guys that have been really done a lot for the sport of Muay Thai. I want to have them on, and we're probably going to have them on later on. But, you know, also it's important to really highlight the upcoming talent that's coming up in this sport, representing the United States. And to me, we are a sleeping giant of Muay Thai. You know, we haven't got quite to where I know this sport can get in this country. So, you know, that's something that like I said, we want to highlight those up and coming guys, because that's something that needs to be done.
So, actually, you just mentioned Romy Adanza, another up and coming guy that we've actually had on the show. Daniel McGowan is going to be fighting Romy Adanza at Lion Fight. Is it Lion Fight 31 or no, July 31st?
No, it's July 31st. I think
Lion Fight. I'm not sure what number it is.
I actually believe it is Lion Fight. I want to promote them correctly. Lion Fight 23. Lion Fight 23. We were really excited about that one, so we'll just announce it real quick before we get into we have Spencer getting ready to go here. So Lion Fight 23 is going to be July 31st. And yeah, Vinny was speaking about it. We were really excited because Daniel McGowan has, he's actually become a friend of the podcast. He is the number one ranked UK, bantamweight in the UK. And he is, he's actually super excited to come. I think it's going to be the first time that he's fought or even been to the United States. So he's going to fight in the United States. But you know what, man? It's as much as I love McGowan and I want to see him, I can't wait to see him fight. He's got a stiff test, man. He's got Romy Adanza, total legend in the sport, and that is going to be one hell of a fight. I can't wait to watch that one. I mean, how do you feel about that one? I know you're a McGowan fan as well, but Adanza is going to be a tough fight for him, man.
It's going to be a tough fight. I think it's going to be a good fight, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Daniel will do well. He's you know, really talented guy.
Yeah. But Daniel McGowan, the first thing he asked us was, are you guys going to be there for the Lion Fight one? And it's like all the way in California. And I feel like sometimes people in Europe don't realize how big the United States is, that, you know, we're not right around the corner from each other. So like it's in California and it's kind of like, yeah, man, that's just all the way across the country. We would love to see you fight. So I was actually thinking about going out for that one. Always, I've never been to a Lion Fight show. I definitely want to go out to one, especially I've been kind of like wanting, me and Vinny have been kind of wanting to do this whole West Coast kick where we start bringing on more of the West Coast guys, because we have a good connection with all of the East Coast guys here on the podcast. But the West Coast guys, that's why we started bringing in Gaston Bolaños, and you know, we want to have a lot of those guys on the show as well, out on the West Coast, because there's a lot of talent out there, and we want to start bringing them on as well, and getting them, you know, their time to talk about, you know, their experiences in the sport. Also on that fight card, man, you know, another fight that I'm looking to, another UK guy, talented, one of my favorite fighters in the game, Liam Harrison. Liam Harrison is going to be fighting with,
another one of Eric's favorite fighters.
Hey, man, Liam the Hitman Harrison is definitely, although, you know what, man? Okay, I'll tell you the truth. My all-time favorite fighter. No, but one of my favorite fighters, one of the guys who brought me into this, who I went all the way to Thailand, really, my first time to train in Thailand, that I went to Kasamrit. I went to Kasamrit because I wanted to train with Anawat, which was Anawat Kasamrit. And he's probably pretty much, I would say, him, John Wayne Parr, and Buakaw were the first three fighters that I really started watching from the, I guess, what was the modern era, really, at that point. You know, besides all the old school guys that came from the golden era of Muay Thai. And Anawat, one of the fights he fought Liam Harrison, and he beat Liam Harrison. But then Harrison came back and beat Anawat, you know, beat him up pretty soundly. So Liam Harrison's always had a lot of talent. He's beat up on a lot of Thais. He's fought a lot of Thais. He's a very talented guy, and he's going to be fighting another Thai in Malapet. And as much as I like Malapet, man, I think Harrison has been in the ring with a lot of really high-level guys, man, and he's done really well. I think Harrison is going to be a super tough fight for Malapet, and especially, you know, because, I don't know, man, I always say this, and I don't want to sound like it's saying anything negative about Malapet, because I like the guy, I like how he fights, I like everything about him. Sometimes I feel like Malapet sort of plays a lot and doesn't, I know there's been, you know, those rumors that he doesn't always take fights seriously and things like that, so I know he's been doing it a lot more now, so, Malapet's a really talented dude, so I think a really talented fighter, obviously, has, you know, been a world champion many times. So, I mean, that is, if the Malapet that we all know shows up, that's going to be a hell of a fight versus Liam Harrison. So, but I think it's going to be a good one for, I think Harrison takes it, though.
I think that should definitely be a good fight.
Yeah, yeah. And also on that fight, we got a lot of different, we have another legend who's going to be Kevin Ross. He's going to be fighting Rung Rat, so can't wait to see Kevin Ross bounce back from his loss to Tetsuya Yamato. It's always good to see Kevin in a fight. Kevin is probably one of the most exciting fighters. Pretty much for me, my money, he's the most exciting American fighter that has ever pretty much graced the ring. So I'm really glad to see him back in there and can't wait to see that fight. And then also Tiffany Van Soest is going to be fighting for the Lion Fight women's. She's going to be defending her Lion Fight title as well. So that's all closed down. Lion Fight 23, that's going to be on July 31st. And before we get to the interview with Spencer, a couple of announcements here. As you guys know, we are now a Yokao Power Seller. So you guys can actually purchase and get a discount on all Yokao gear when you order from yokao.com and use the promo code STRIKINGCORNER. And you can also access it. We have the banners on our website, on our main site, which is strikingcorner.com. You can check out the banners. It's at the bottom of the page. It says Yokao Power Seller. If you click on that banner and you use the promo code STRIKINGCORNER on checkout, you will get 10% off anything you buy. Yokao, some great gear. Guys like Liam Harrison have used Yokao, as well as other great fighters like Sanchao Buaco. You guys know them. Pacorn, all of those guys have been promoting a lot of the Yokao gear. A lot of people seem to love their stuff. We obviously love their stuff, so definitely check them out. We also are working with In Fight Style, a local, well, pretty much they're here in North America, in Canada. They're a very, very, very cool brand. I really like them a lot. Some good friends work for them and are now part of that company. And so I definitely want to promote them as well. In Fight Style, they do a lot of really good quality custom work, shorts, a lot of walkout gear. They're also doing their own gloves. But definitely the thing that they're most known for that I love is really their shorts are really great. They just sent me a pair, a week ago. I started using some of their shorts, man. They're really, really cool. Very nice designs, man. And they're here in North America. So definitely check them out. InFightStyle.com. You can also click on the banner and our page and use the promo code STRIKING. I think last time I was on the podcast, I think I said the promo code was Striking Corner. But for InFightStyle, the promo code is STRIKING. So use that and you can also get 10% off there on any of the stuff that you buy from them. We are also on Onnit. We support Onnit.com for all your supplement needs. Check them out. They got t-shirts. They also got a lot of workout gear. Check them out at onit.com. You can also access them via our website and use the promo code GETONIT to get 10% off there. And we are now, last but not least, we are also now helping out a good friend of ours, a competitive ace. He is now pushing, he's basically selling the Low Blow. It's a, basically an evolved Thai-style groin cup, but it's not made out of steel. It's very, 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 it's a very, very cool groin cup. A lot of guys have been, we just actually posted up today a review by our good friend Stefan Strottmeyer out of Pittsburgh Muay Thai. He put a, made a review of, wrote a little review about the cup, and a lot of guys have really sworn by it. Kevin Ross, Jake Shields from MMA, Daniel Kim, another talented Muay Thai fighter, Mark Beecher. A lot of these guys have been talking about the Low Blow cup, and I've been hearing a lot of good feedback about it. They sent me one. I haven't used it yet, so I'll also review it as well. But it's very, very for a lot of people are saying it's really great. It's going to replace pretty much that Thai style cup. You know, a lot of people are saying it's a little, fits a little bit more snug. It's a lot more comfortable. So definitely check it out at competitiveace.com. I also have the banner on our website. And if you use the promo code THESTRIKINGCORNER, every single one is different. It's THESTRIKINGCORNER. You can get $5 off the your purchase of the Low Blow Cup, or you can get $5 off any product on Competitive Ace, which they also are one of the official distributors of Naman Muay here in the United States. So you can check them out. Which is,
I think we should do the ultimate review of the Low Blow Cup. Mm-hmm. And you should put it on and let me kick you in the balls as hard as I possibly can.
Definitely.
And see how good it is.
We'll film it. We will film it. Yeah, we'll do it. We will film it and we'll post it up on YouTube. Like I said, if you guys want to see me get kicked in the nuts by Vinny with the Low Blow cup, why don't you send him an email at vinny@strikingcorner.com. He's very sad when you don't send him emails. He likes the comments. He likes the comments you guys sometimes sell him, but send him. But if you want to see me get kicked in the nuts wearing the Low Blow, comment and we'll do a video of that. And I will review it after I grimace in pain. All right.
And then I'm going to do a GoFundMe to pay for my flight to get there.
Yeah. All right, man. All right. So without further ado, guys, that was all the announcements. We, like I said, we have Spencer Grakowski here on the podcast, and he is ready to go. So we will be right back with Spencer Grakowski. Well, hello, everybody. So we are back here on the Striking Corner, and we have, as we had mentioned already, a guest here on the show, a very special guest, a young and upcoming fighter. He hails out of New Jersey. His name is Spencer Grakowski, only 20 years old, is still new to the Muay Thai game, trying to rise up the ranks. He is currently a pro with a 3-1 record and has over something like 20-something, almost 30 fights in total, so fought a lot as an amateur. And welcome to the show, Spencer. It's great to have you on, man. How you been?
Hey guys, thank you for having me.
All right, man, so let's kind of get started. I mean, you're you know, it's as we were talking a little bit off the air, you know, Vinny and I were talking about way back in the day when we started Muay Thai, it was really you know, it was really difficult to find fights. And you know, it's kind of now, at least that I've seen, you know, the sport is picking up, and there's a lot more events than there was back then. There's a lot more coverage. Obviously, there's awesome podcasts such as this one talking about the sport, you know. So, you know, we're really moving in the right direction. But I mean, how do you feel as a young guy getting into sport? I mean, let's get straight to it. You know, you, before we get into how you, to you, where you're at right now, currently in the sport, tell us a little about yourself. I know you're from New Jersey. You're training at Weapons 9. How did you start in Muay Thai?
Well, I always liked fighting. I used to watch like UFCs and stuff like that, but I just really liked the stand-up part of it. So mm-hmm. One day I just looked it up online and I found the gym that was probably about 10 minutes from me. And I went over there and checked it out. It was in a like an old abandoned warehouse, and like a, it looked like a crack house, basically, the outside of the gym. There were needles everywhere.
Oh, wow.
That kind of stuff. So it was a little interesting. My mom's dropping me off. I'm like a 14-year-old kid. She's, well, I don't know about this, but never looked back since then.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So you currently at Weapons 9, that was Weapons 9 with Chris Tran. So you're still,
yeah.
You started there and you've been there ever since.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Chris Tran and Joe Pellegrino.
Okay, awesome, man. I mean, we're just going to go on record and say we absolutely love Chris Tran. He's one of our favorite guys in the world. So, you know, it's awesome to I know he's a great instructor and everything. So did you? So basically, you said you loved fighting pretty much from the get-go. I mean, tell me a little bit about that. Were you somebody, because a lot of guys that get into fighting, usually, you know, we see them, you know, they were guys who either got bullied or they just liked to fight, kind of troublemakers in school. Were you really a troublemaker? Or you just always kind of loved the sport and kind of loved fighting sports?
Well, school wasn't really my best place. Definitely a troublemaker in school. And I played lacrosse, basketball, and I just liked physical, like getting physical. So found Muay Thai and it was perfect for me.
All right. So once you started in Muay Thai, did you immediately want to jump into training? I mean, as soon as you started training, obviously Muay Thai is a fighting sport, but let me, you know, a lot of times, especially like for myself, when I first started Muay Thai, obviously I had already had experience fighting in other sports, but you know, as instructors, Vinny and I, you know, teach Muay Thai as well. You have a lot of guys that are now getting into the sport. They just want to learn self-defense. They want to learn more about the sport. They want to learn how to defend themselves. But fighting a lot of times is not their number one. You know, they never desire to fight. You have a lot of guys that come into the gym. They don't desire to fight. And then as they start doing it more and more and more, they're like, they get that itch, you know, where they're like, okay, I want to test myself and see what I can do. And a lot of times those guys end up being your more dedicated and sometimes the, you know, the better fighters than the guys who came in right away to be fighters, you know. So when you stepped into the ring, was fighting the number one thing on your mind? You wanted to compete right away?
I think it was like when I came into the gym, I did my first class and I walked in and I'll never forget it. Joe was actually the first person I moved around with my first day there. Mm-hmm. I was looking and I was like, oh, wow, this guy's like an older guy. Mm-hmm. Two minutes later, he busted my nose, my lip, everything up. So after that, I was hooked and I just wanted to keep going. Never looked back since then.
Nice. How long did you train before you actually said, you know what, I want to get in the ring or I'm ready to get in the ring? How long was the time before when you started training and then when Chris Tran and the guys over there at Weapons 9 said, you know what, Spencer, you're ready to fight. Do you want to do this?
I think it was about 7 months.
Okay. Seven months total.
7 months, yeah.
Okay, very cool. So I understand you have a WKA title that you won the Nationals, and then once you won the Nationals in the WKA, well, this is as an amateur, you obviously went to the Worlds, which were in Germany. What year was that? Do you remember the year?
2011.
Okay, yeah. The 2011 WKAs in Germany. Then you actually won those as well. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was a really cool experience, but at the national tournament, I ended up only fighting once.
Oh, okay.
Which was a little disappointing, but the Worlds, I got to fight two times.
Okay.
Two fights. So I fought someone from Germany and someone from the Ukraine.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
So it was good.
All right. So
interesting experience.
So let's move on from there. So you have a background, and you have a good background. You have, you know, you said 30 something odd fights in total. You're currently 3-1 as a pro right now.
Yeah.
I know you've been traveling back and forth from Thailand. And like we were mentioning at the beginning, you know, when Vinny and I were starting out in Muay Thai, it was very, very difficult to find a lot of fights. You know, Muay Thai was very sort of still very underground. You know, I was in Florida. I'm in Florida. So there was not a lot going on. We have a big MMA scene here, but not a big Muay Thai scene. Vinny's in New York, but at that time he was training here with me. Fights were few and far between. But now, as the sport's grown, there's been a lot of opportunities to fight. And, you know, it's really cool to see young guys such as yourself. You're only 20 years old, but you've had all this experience fighting already. Something that, you know, when I was younger, it was very difficult to do really in the area that I was. I mean, how do you feel as a young guy right now? How do you feel? I know you're very involved in the media of the sports. You like to comment on a lot of, you know, pages talking about fights, talking to a lot of guys involved in the sports. What's your opinion on being a young guy in the sport? Do you feel like there's a good future for you in this sport? What have you run into as for problems, basically? Have you had any problems trying to grow?
I definitely think that Muay Thai is growing because, especially at the amateur level, there's so many different shows out there to get fights on. And even as an amateur, we were able to fight once every 2 weeks if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But as the pro level, it's a little harder to get fights.
Yeah.
But there are still a lot more there, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's a little harder to to get fights as a new pro, you were saying, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because I feel it's a lot of new pros and then really experienced pros. Like, there's no middle ground. Mm-hmm. So if you're lucky enough to where so like a veteran is willing to take a fight with you, then I think that's like your opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's something that's come up a lot of times as a subject on our podcast and sort of a problem that we've seen arise over and over again when we've spoken to guys like Eric Haycraft and other guys that are involved in this sport at higher levels trying to promote shows. And what you see is you either have that like what he was talking about with us, and we always bring up his name because he explained something really great, was you have guys that, let's say, like such as yourself, that you can fight. You know, there's going to be guys such as, you know, maybe you can get in and there's like a 1-0 guy and then a 2-0 guy. And then you kind of slowly, let's say around the world in kickboxing, you can slowly get in and then fight like the 3-1 guy and then maybe a guy that's 5-0 and you're in 3-1. And you can sort of, get that stepping stone properly into pro. But now what happens, I think, in the United States is there's very few venues to where you can sort of find that middle ground. So it's either guys that are super, super experienced or guys that are just stepping into the sport. So it's almost like if you're a new pro, you either once you have a couple of fights under your belt, like 5, 6, 7 fights under your belt, you're either going to have to fight really experienced guys, or there's not like a lot of these new guys coming in don't want to fight you, you know. So it's I see a lot of times that it becomes a little complicated because there's not a lot of middle ground there for you guys to compete as much.
Yeah, I like that. Like, if any of experienced guys, those are the fights that I want. But
yeah,
from their perspective, it's not a good. Well, there's no point to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So as the bigger guys come in, as those bigger guys get more experience, you know, the younger guys are coming in, but they don't see that as sort of, I guess, cost effective in a way to get their, you know, to really start building their name when.
Oh yeah, when definitely. It's a new
guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, man. So tell me about, I know you've been traveling to Thailand and you just came back from Sitmunchai, you know, and you've gone there a couple of times now. So tell me about it, because me and Vinny are very into traditional Muay Thai. And I can tell, obviously, with seeing the things you comment on and talk about online and exchanging different conversations online, you're very into the traditional aspect of the sport and to the Thai Muay Thai scene. Is that something that you feel like you obviously traveling over to Thailand and training over in Thailand, is that something that you feel is the venue or the road that you want to take? Do you feel like you want to jump into the Muay Thai circuit over there and train and maybe, I don't know, live there and train there and fight there more often?
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. I love Thailand. I love the culture, the everything about it, the food, the people, not just the Muay Thai, but there, Muay Thai is completely different than here. It's like fights are common. Like every day, it's just like not a big deal to step into the ring. Like over here, you'll have like just a lot of hype building up to the fight. When over there, it's like a common thing. It's just normal.
Yeah.
Day-to-day stuff.
All right. So when you go there, how many, have you had any fights currently in Thailand? I mean, well, when the times you've been to Thailand?
Yeah, I had 5 fights.
All right. Very. And you know, how did you do when you were over there?
I won one of them. The rest of them were ties, because the owner of Sitmunchai, he asked me, he's like, do you want fights like 50-50? You want to fight ties? And I wanted to fight the ties because just to get the most out of the experience. And some of those guys that I ended up fighting, they were no joke, but I feel like I got a lot out of those fights.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's awesome that you say that, because like if you heard our recent podcast, what we had with Ongyen Topic, who's in your neck of the woods as well. He's up in New Jersey. You know, he fought recently on Max Muay Thai and he lost all of his fights at Max Muay Thai. But it's the same thing. I mean, it seems like what I think I appreciate about, especially well with guys like Ongyen, who has a little bit more experience than you, but you as a young guy, it seems like you're stepping into the ring and ready to take on the tough fights, because you don't want the easy fights. I mean, that's the problem right now that I feel personally, is that as you know, when I went to Thailand a couple years ago, you know, and I think the first time I went was like 2005 or so. You know, you still had foreigners going over there, but it was still sort of not too new. I mean, there was a lot of people obviously still going over there and stuff and training, but it's become really, really popular to go over there and train. And you're seeing a lot of, now it seems like the fighting in Thailand has lost its luster a little bit. You know, that there, as you know, while you can go in there and fight really, really tough guys, a lot of guys go to Thailand and they say they fought tough guys, but there's a lot of BS over there where they're just fights that are handed to you, kind of thing. You know,
they're fighting tuk-tuk drivers.
I've seen it way too many times.
Yeah. So you actually went out there to seek out the tough guys.
Oh yeah, like I came out of the ring. The one guy I ended up fighting at the old Lumpini Stadium, the fight was, I think, 73 kilos, and I was small then, probably like 69 kilos, just walking around. And I saw him, and like we got into the ring, and he was just so strong. The clinch, it was ridiculous. I left the fight probably in my head. I had eggs everywhere, my eyes, my top of my head, back of my head, everywhere. But it was a good experience. I definitely got a lot out of it. Maybe not that fight, but
I think everything's a learning experience. So you know you're gonna get hurt, but that's part of the sport. And especially if you're going up against those guys that are so much better than you, I don't think there's any way that you're gonna walk away, even if you've lost, you're gonna walk away having like really lost anything big time. I mean, I think you'll come out with a big learning experience, you know. So you're gonna pick up from that and learn a lot and basically be better for the next one.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So since you've been when you're in Thailand training, talk to me a little bit about the experience over there, because I mean we talk a lot with guys who've already been there, guys who are ranked, guys who are fighting on the big shows here in the United States, and people know their names. But the cool thing about talking with you is you're a young and upcoming guy. So what do you, obviously, when you go over there to Thailand, tell me, what are you seeking out to do when you go over there? What is your ultimate goal in Muay Thai?
Just to fight as much as possible. I just love fighting. I love to see the progression from one fight to the next. And over there, I want to fight all the time. But it's been hard, especially my last trip. I had some fights lined up, but I had to come back early because my stomach was bothering me. I have Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
That plays a huge role in my Muay Thai.
Definitely. I mean, but that's another thing. I mean, I know about that. I've heard about that about you. That, I mean, I know you suffer from Crohn's disease. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, because, you know, that's got to be difficult mentally, especially as a fighter. That takes you out of your game. And, I mean, how has Muay Thai helped calm that down? Actually, you know what? Before we get into that, for the people that don't know, what exactly is Crohn's disease?
It's like a problem with your colon and your, to be honest with you, I don't know. I really don't look it up. I suffer from the symptoms of it. I get all the time, but really tell you.
So it's like just really hard stomach aches or what is it?
Like stuff like that. It's with your colon and just real bad stomach pains, bowel move. It's not fun. Not fun or pretty.
No, I
understand. Does it affect your weight cutting for when you have a fight coming up?
Oh yeah, it depends. Like especially my last fight, I had a really bad flare up, and I usually walk around to like 170, 175, but at that time I was walking around like probably 150 pounds, so I didn't have to cut any weight, and I definitely felt it in the fight. It probably wasn't a good idea, but I was already signed for the fight, so I went in there and I definitely felt the difference.
Mm-hmm. And is there treatments and medications and things that you're on in order to like stop the flare ups and things like that?
Yeah, I'm taking medication. It helps, but there's always those times where it's just hits you.
Yeah, it could just pop up at any moment.
Yeah, sadly, it happened when I was in Thailand, so I had to come back.
All right. So you had to come back. You had to cut your trip early, pretty much then.
Yeah.
You had two fights lined up when you were there too, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to fight a real strong Russian opponent, actually. He had a name in Russia. I totally forgot his name, but it would have been a really hard, good fight. It would have been a great win, but it didn't work out. But next time.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly, I know because I was actually at Weapons 9 while you were over there. And Chris was telling me that he had a style that you really don't like too much, like that just in your face, more boxing kind of style.
Yeah, he heavy hitter. So what we worked on was just clinching and elbows, trying to cut him in the first round. So make it quick.
What type of style fighter do you typically like to fight the most?
A traditional style. I love it. That's the best I could ask for. Like, but it doesn't really ever happen like that. But
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's I wanted to ask you also, going off that question that Vinny just asked you, how would you describe your style? I mean, what are you? Are you a clincher? Are you somebody who likes the heavy body kicks? Are you somebody who likes to use, are you a big kneer? I mean, you know, there's different types of styles. Obviously, when we look at fighters from Thailand, there's guys who, and there's sometimes gyms in Thailand who have specific styles. More, you know, Pep Bunju is known for his knees, and then you have different guys that are, you know, known for, like, Anuat back in the day was known for his being a heavy puncher. You know, what do you look to achieve in Muay Thai, or what is your favorite style of fighting, you personally?
I'd say I have a pretty traditional style, but I love to throw leg kicks. I know they don't score much, but if you can, I've finished probably maybe 6 or 7 fights total with them.
Yeah.
So I just love that style, and that's why I went to Sitmon Chai the first time, because they're known for the heavy hands and low kicks.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that Poinsenet, that's his bread and butter, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, like the heavy leg kicks. So you're more of so you definitely like the leg kicks, but you're not. Would you consider yourself a heavy puncher, or you try to have a heavy, you know, throw heavy hands and then heavy low kicks?
I wouldn't say that, because honestly, I really don't throw my hands that much. I've started to, but I love to kick. I love body kicks, teeps, knees, elbows, and low kicks especially. But I'm starting to work my boxing in. But I just really haven't thrown it that much. But when I do, I usually have I have good success with it.
Yeah, yeah. And so you just said that's your style, that's the style you like to fight. And Vinny was mentioning that Chris was saying that this Russian guy that you were going to fight in Thailand had a style that you weren't too, you didn't like too much. You like to fight more traditional guys. You know, what is the fight? I mean, you like to fight traditional guys, but what is the style that you feel you always run into most problems with?
I'd say heavy boxing, getting pressured with the hands.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, because we, I mean, you are obviously you fight here in the United States. In the United States, do you feel like that is the more prevalent style? There's definitely more a prevalence for sort of the brawling, coming at you, throwing heavy hands, than there is the very, very traditional Thai that we obviously, as traditional Thai fighters or guys that like the traditional style, we would love everybody to kind of stand in front of us and play that chess match. But a lot of guys don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
So is that, I mean, that the heavy punching is definitely, so okay, so here's a question going off of that. Now, when you fight and when you look at fighters, and when you're fighting, you know, basically now watching the sport here in the United States, tell me a little bit about I know you're very outspoken about your opinions on the sport and who you like and who you don't like. Let me ask you, I mean, how do you feel the sport is evolving? I want to get the young person's perspective. Somebody who's been, you know, basically in the sport, started at 14. You're only 20 right now, so that's just, you know, 6 years involved in the sport. How do you feel right now that the sport is growing here in the United States? What do you like? What do you dislike?
I feel that it's growing really well, because now you have shows popping up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the only thing, even with that, is there's some shows that are just kind of, they're like a joke, because you'll have not the right judges, you'll have terrible referees, and I feel like that hurts the sport. Mm-hmm. So it give and take, I guess.
No, because I know, speaking about the judges, because I know you suffered a decision recently, I forgot what fight it was, but I know you suffered a decision that you weren't happy at all with. And you've kind of run into those things before.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty hard to win a fight when the guy that you're fighting, two of his coaches are judging, but I don't want to go with the promoter. I'm past it. I got over it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So what are your plans for the future, Spencer? For currently, do you have any fights lined up? What are you going to be doing in the near future? Are you going to be going back to Thailand? Tell us a little bit about what you have planned.
I'm actually going back to Thailand next week.
Oh,
I've been, since I got back, I worked as many hours as I possibly could. So I have my money saved up, and I think I'm going to head back out there.
Very nice. Very nice. And you're going to head back to Sitmon Chai?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So you're going to have those fights lined up. You're going to have fights. I assume you're going to have fights lined up over there. You're going to go over there and you're going to, you know, try to basically do your best and get more experience and not get as many knots.
Yeah, I want to have the two fights that I was had lined up for me last time. I want to make sure that I can go through with those now.
Okay, very cool, very cool. So the guy that you were saying that you had that Russian guy lined up, does he currently live in Thailand? Is that what you've heard or what?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty cool. Sure. I'm not sure where or anything like that. I just saw a video of him. Real strong. Good.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very cool.
So now if you had to, not that I'm asking you to call anyone out, but if you could, who in the U.S. would you want to fight at this point in time?
That's a good question. Honestly, I don't know. Anyone from 147 to 158 pounds, literally anybody that I can fight. Anyone that – it doesn't matter how many fights they have. If they'll take the fight, I would love it. They'd give me an opportunity. The bigger name, anybody.
Very cool. Okay. And have you had any – do you have any – have you what promotions have you fought on under for as a pro? Was it just Warriors Cup shows, Friday night fights? What have you done?
Where were they at? One of them was Victory Combat Sports.
Okay, yeah, in New York. All right.
And one of them was the USKA Fight Night Show.
That's in Pottstown, right?
Yeah, Victory Combat Sports wasn't the promotion that had the fighters, coaches as judges. Just saying, just wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
And the other two were at Bangla Stadium. Okay. No, one of them was at Bangla in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, to be honest with you.
Oh, the other one. But the other one was in Thailand, too, I guess, right?
Yes.
You had two. All right.
And the fight at Bangla wasn't a taxi driver, just so. Australian guy. He was probably 15 pounds heavier than me, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And that was an all-out war.
Why do you say that?
I had
was
a
it not chip fun?
Shin bone, everything.
Oh, wow. All right, man. So I just want to hear a little bit more. I guess the last thing we wanted to ask you before you go, you know, like I said, you're a young, like we keep on repeating it, as a young guy in the sport. Obviously, you're still growing. You're still, you know, moving. All you're going to Thailand. You're training. What do you think? Give us some advice to the guys, because we have a lot of guys that listen that are very pretty much starting out in the sport. Now, tell me, what do you think that they should focus on growing in the sport? What advice would you give them? Because there's a lot of guys that I see nowadays, and I'm pretty sure you agree because you know this as well. You have a good coach that we know very well that has probably coached you very well. There's a lot of guys, you know, there's a lot of guys now that do 7, 8, 9, 10 fights, and then they immediately go pro, you know? And then we see that obviously it affects their performance because they're nowhere near as good as some of the guys that have been doing the sport at a higher level. Obviously there's gyms that say they do Muay Thai and their Muay Thai is very, you know, not that great. So what is your advice to those young guys that are coming up in the sport? Being a young guy yourself that kind of started out at 14 and is now moving up in the ranks, what would you give them for advice?
To find the right gym and the right trainer. I think that's the most important out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a good gym or you don't have the good trainer, you're not going to be able to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you think defines for you a good trainer and a good gym?
A trainer, somebody that has your trainer. It's got to be somebody that's always there for you and just they want you to do well. And like, mm-hmm. they're always just looking out for you, especially like Chris. When I was training for my fights, he would take time off of work, get to the gym early, in the mornings, training, everything. And just somebody that is willing to go the extra mile for you.
Very cool, very cool. And when it comes to fighting, what would you say, when it comes to the actual fighting aspect, what would you say you feel that younger people have to focus on or new guys coming into sport have to focus on?
Fighting as much as possible.
Okay, so that...
Any opportunity, I think, is the way to go. More experience, the better.
Mm-hmm. So finding but it has to be because you can fight. So let's make this clear. You can fight a lot, but if you have a crappy coach, I don't see you. I don't think you're going to have much success, even if you get a lot of experience.
Oh, definitely, because most likely that coach isn't bringing you to the right shows, not getting you the right opponents. So
yeah.
Or even giving you the proper training.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
No, exactly, because I think you have to get. Obviously, if you're losing, even if you lose in fights, which is, I mean, you're going to gain experience. But if you don't have the right coach, he's not going to coach you to, I would say, to improve from fight to fight. He's not going to pinpoint those aspects that you need to work on, you know, to that you need to get better at. It's basically just going to be like, you know, so you, because I've seen that too. And, you know, it's where there's, I've seen coaches that just believe that, you know, if I throw my fighter in the ring over and over and over again, he's just going to get better because he's going to get more experience. But unless you're working on the core issues that are causing him to lose, it doesn't matter how many times he gets in there and fights. I doubt he's going to get, you know, that person is going to get any better, he or she, basically. You know,
oh, for sure. There's so many trainers that just want to have their name known, and they're just throwing their guys in the ring as pros with like 3 or 4 fights or stuff like that, just trying to get their own name out there. Mm-hmm. So
that is basically, guys, the coming from a guy who's starting to his career fighting. He's fought at Victory. He's fought twice in Thailand. Spencer Gorkowski from New Jersey, Weapons 9. Keep an eye on this guy. He's going to fight pretty much a couple. I know he's going to fight stateside, but he's going to Thailand. He's going to have hopefully more than 2 fights. Let's see if we can get more than 2 fights.
Definitely
over there as well.
More.
And, man, just, you know, listen to that advice. I mean, I would say we agree as well. Guys, when you look for Muay Thai trainers, make sure they're very make sure they have the experience, make sure they have you know, have trained fighters before, have not only have trained fighters before, but have trained fighters who have actually done I would say have, you know, had some success. And in this case, you know, Chris Tran with Spencer. Spencer's been a WK national champion, then a WK world champion, now currently fighting as a pro. So, Spencer, really good talking to you, man. You know, we've been watching you grow in the sport, and we're definitely feel that you're somebody to watch. And it's always good to speak to young and upcoming guys in the sport that are really going to be the future for this, you know, for Muay Thai in the United States as it continues to grow. You know, if we didn't have new guys like yourself coming into the sport, and then even the guys that are under you and younger than you that are starting to get in the sport, I don't think there would be a good future. So it's really good to see somebody so passionate about it. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thank you for coming on. All right, everybody. So we just wanted to thank Spencer Gorkowski once again for coming on the show. Like we had already said, young kid, 20 years old, coming up. I could tell he was a little bit nervous there on the podcast. You know, he's really a talented guy. And, you know, you guys should keep an eye on this kid. He's already fought a couple times on the East Coast in New York. And as well as in New Jersey, he is currently going, I think he said he was leaving sometime like on Monday to sit back.
I think next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday back to Sitmon Chai in Thailand. So he is definitely a kid that is willing to take on all comers. And really, like we had said at the beginning of the podcast in the intro, you know, he's a guy that he's one of those guys that we, you know, we want to promote. We want to promote the up-and-coming kids, the fighters, the kids, the young guys that are coming into the sport, and really also give them their place in the sun, their time to shine, showcase that there's a lot of great talent upcoming in America, that we can hopefully continue to grow this sport and more people get in it and there's more opportunities for them. And that, you know, hopefully, you know, more and more promotions start coming out so that they can fight more regularly and really, really kind of get the right introduction into the pro ranks, you know, so they can, you know, they don't have to, like Spencer was saying, they don't have to fight one guy that's, you know, all, like once they fight 4 or 5 guys, then the next jump is going to be like some Thai guy with 100 fights, you know, so that, you know, there's a little bit more of them getting a proper introduction into the sport and then getting more and more experience so they can start fighting on the world stage a little bit more. So really, you know, once again, thank you, Spencer, for coming on the show. And really, that is our show for this week. So remember, you guys, you can always check out the Striking Corner at strikingcorner.com. That is our main website. You can always go there. We always put up our podcast there. You can find the podcast there via SoundCloud and Stitcher and on iTunes as well. We post reviews. We're posting reviews for some products that we've been reviewing. The last one was the Low Blow new groin cup by Competitive Ace, and Competitive Ace is distributing it. We had a review by our good friend Stefan Stropmeyer, also known as Passant. He just reviewed it on the Striking Corner, so you can check it out there. And if you want to check it out and buy one of your own, you can get Like we had said at the beginning, $5 off. Just use the promo code TheStrikingCorner when you go to CompetitiveAce.com. Besides that, guys, you can always check us out on social media. We are at Striking Corner on Instagram, at Striking Corner on Twitter, and we are also on Facebook at facebook.com/Striking Corner. You can also reach me, Eric Rivera, at Eric at Striking Corner. And Vinny, how can they reach you?
Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y, at strikingcorner.com.
All right, guys, so that's about it for our podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks with another show. We're always trying to bring on a great new people every 2 weeks onto the podcast, and really just keep promoting Muay Thai and keep getting the sport, putting it more in the limelight, or at least the guys that do it, the guys that are behind the sport, this sport that we love. So if you guys have any suggestions, you want to tell us you like the show, want to tell us or connect us with some fighter that you really feel or you really want to hear on the show, hit us up at info@strikingcorner.com, or you can hit us up on all our social media pages or our individual email addresses, as we had just said, Eric@strikingcorner.com or Vinny@strikingcorner.com. And really, that's about it, guys. This is The Striking Corner signing off. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.